Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Welcome back to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I'm Michael DeCamp, your host, and I'm here with this week's co-host, Nancy.
Hello.
How you doing, Nancy?
Great.
You know, Angela's has been our regular co-host pretty often, but Angela's had a busy life right now.
So, and it's a shared responsibility.
Yeah.
It takes a village to help you with a podcast.
My co-hosts are officially Angela, Nancy, and Andrea. So whichever one we get at a given time, and it's just that Angela's been very busy with this. It's been a crazy summer for her, new jobs, stuff like that. So here we are. My wife is actually telling me to move on. So
I'm not the general in the relationship.
No, of course not. So, but we're welcome. We're glad to be back. And, those of you who are listening, welcome to the podcast. I've had a bit of a busy summer too. Thus, we've had a little bit of gap since our last interview with Karen Elaine. So those of you who know the mama chick from, Good Bones, go back and listen to, when you're done with this one, go back and listen to the previous episode and you can hear Karen. With us today are David and Pamela.
Forgotten already.
No, I didn't forget. David and Pamela Ackerman, who are, how do you define yourselves, folks?
What? That's a really good question. We are musicians.
We could sing. Be here a while.
Yes, it could be a long, long while.
Yes, they're musicians. And David and Nancy have known each other for a very long time. And so we got familiar with them a couple of years ago. Well, as a couple, we got familiar with them a couple of years ago. And we'll get into all that in just a few minutes. But we obviously have to start with our creative indulgences. So thank you for Pamela. Pamela listened to the last episode and caught my change in terms, and I forgot it. So she helped me out. So let's start with our, Nancy, what's your creative indulgence for this episode?
Well, most recently, usually we share books, and I'll share one today. I just finished Throne of Glass by Sarah J. Maas, and I've read some other books of hers. And my daughter's got me into these books that's kind of like, I guess a young adult Game of Thrones, Hunger Games kind of thing. Yeah. Some of Sarah J. Maas, I've also read her Court of Thorn and Roses books, which are good. They do have some definite adult content in them. So if you're listening out there, be mindful of that. But the Throne of Glass series I've read, and it's interesting. It's a young woman heroine.
My mind goes somewhere when you say heroine.
She's a hero. A shero.
That makes more sense
enjoyable.
To my brain.
It's enjoyable to see.
Not addictive at all.
Yeah. Except they read every single one of those. I think, was it, which one? Have you read all of them or is it Andrea that's read all of them?
They've both read all of them. The other series, we drove Mike crazy. Every Sunday when the girls would come over and hang out, we would be talking about the books.
And I would take a nap.
And he would take a nap. Yeah.
Sounds like a prime.
Yeah. But so I'm just now getting into this series, which I think one of them read, Angela and I have read a couple of, 2 or 3 years ago. And then Andrea caught up this last year. So I'm just starting this series.
Yeah. Now I'm reading East of Eden by John Steinbeck. You ever heard of, he's a moderately famous author, I think.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. No, he's a classic American author. I had read his Grapes of Wrath a number of years ago and started reading East of Eden just recently. And I'm not very deep into it, but I can already tell why he was such a great author. He's already intertwining characters and setting the stage for what I know is going to be kind of an intense story. So,
you know, what's interesting about that, because this book I'm reading right now Sarah J. Maas actually wrote or started writing when she was in college. And the series that I had read previously was in recent years. And you could see, it's been interesting to see this book and how it's still good, but her older books, you can see how she has developed as a writer, the complexities of stuff. So it's cool to see.
Yeah, it's funny. I listened to the Novel Marketing Podcast, which is for, it's for people, a lot of us, for indie authors, about, you know, authors who are trying to get their business going or trying to get things headed the right way. And one of the things that Thomas Umstead Jr. always says is, your first book is your worst one. And so
you learn from
it's
there.
Very interesting. And he's got a rule. He's like, don't make your first book the first book in a trilogy or in a series.
Interesting.
And because then everybody else, if they read the first book, they judge your whole series based off of your worst book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's nice to know now.
Thank you. In hindsight.
Thank you, Thomas. Where were you in 2016 when I was trying to get this thing published? But so, well, Pamela, I see you have a book laying in front of you. What have you got?
I do. I'm a writer, and if I don't write things down, I forget them. So I actually brought the prop. You folks at home can't see it, but I brought the prop. It's called A Thousand Splendid Suns. It's a novel by the author of The Kite Runner. And I don't know if you're familiar with either of those. I just started. Oh, good.
I've not read this book, but I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. And not to say that I'm entrenched in books. We actually haven't been reading a whole heck of a lot, and I've been wanting to get back to it. One of the things that Stephen King says is you can't be an author. You can't be a writer without writing a lot and reading a lot. I'm not doing a heck of a lot of either. And so I'm trying to get back to that. But so I've just started this. I'm excited about it. I learned about it from Brent Hansen. I don't know if you guys know him, but he's a Christian DJ that I found through Air One and now has his own page with Brent and Sherry. And they weave really deep biblical truths in with a lot of fun and laughter. And so so he was just like, wow, this book, I really really enjoy it. And so it was just the way he spoke about it. I had to go get it. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of, self-help books. So like Compound Effect with Darren Hardy is one that I'm in right now, but I'm trying to soften.
Wow. Balance, right?
I need the personal development. It's not that, but, but I'm trying to, you know, get back to a little bit more fiction and yeah.
I guess I'm the odd man out. Balance. I don't have a book in front
of me. Well, it doesn't have, you don't have to, and it doesn't have to be a book, right? It could be other things.
It could be a TV show. It could be a new song.
I've actually watching a lot of movies recently, and the one we watched, actually just finished, was Tarzan, the most recent Tarzan.
Oh, yeah.
So
we've seen that one.
Yeah, it was actually really good.
It was better than I thought it would be.
Yes.
Because it takes a different perspective on the whole story, because usually it's from the beginning of his life, and this is after he's been rescued, and he's back in England and then goes back to Africa. Yep, so it's a very different perspective on it.
Yeah.
I remember that one. It's good.
Yeah, it was good. That was a good movie. I think, I guess my non-book thing lately is I've kind of started watching Longmire again on Netflix.
Heard of that. I've
caught a couple seasons of that, and I like
Longmire.
Yeah.
It's just a great drama in an interesting setting that's not Los Angeles or New York City or Chicago. You know, it's Wyoming of all places. And it's just, it's a small town sheriff in Wyoming that faces some big city problems, really. And it's really, really a good TV show. But I actually like the books better. Craig Johnson is the author of the Longmire book series, which, if you're into reading a little bit, I would recommend that series. It's a good book series.
Didn't realize it was based on a book.
Yeah. Well, I didn't either at first. But then I discovered it. I read the first one. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. So I like it. All right. Well, let's shift into the conversation. So I wanted to invite David and Pamela to be on the podcast because, at the beginning of, well, I guess the first time I ever saw you guys was at Books and Brews South on Shelby Street a couple of years ago.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah. And so we went over and we sat and listened to them perform for the evening. It was fun. It was a great time together. But then COVID hit. And dun, dun, dun. you guys make your living doing some performing, right?
Yes.
So before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about how you got started.
Who are David and Pamela
Ackerman? David and Pamela Ackerman?
No pressure, but go ahead.
For the uninitiated.
The year was 1492.
We look really good.
Yes, don't we? No, we actually had an interesting time last night with that, because there was a couple that we have known for many years that they were out performing. She plays Celtic violin and he plays guitar, and very talented. And we were just trying to venture into playing together. I had been performing since high school, but we had never really done anything together. And
it
we
wasn't
said,
even a glimmer yet.
No,
it was not. There was nothing worked up. Yeah.
No, nothing at all. And we met with them, and they sat there and poured into us and told us different things, and slowly started to develop what we were doing. We started playing farmers markets and playing for 4 hours at a farmer's market, which is
seems
kind of
a little corny.
99 bottles of beer on the wall. Make the time go.
Where's that thing at?
Where's that button?
No, I can turn it up. Okay.
So yeah, we started out with that, just trying to put the show together. And we were repeating a lot of music at that point, because, you know, we maybe had 2 hours. Maybe 2 hours worth of music. So like 20 or 25 songs. Mm-hmm. And it was a slow process, but that's kind of how things began for us.
As a couple playing together.
As a couple playing together.
Let's go back further. How did you get your start, David?
You know, I started piano when I was 8. My grandmother was a professional musician in England, and it just kind of ran that way. But it was actually in high school that I really got bitten by the bug. I was a junior in high school and got one of the main roles in Bye Bye Birdie ahead of a senior, which was, of course, like a big deal at that point. And that's when it kind of started. And I started taking voice lessons, got a scholarship to college to study music. And I was actually looking at trying to become an opera star. So I studied opera, went to grad school, studied opera, and then started a Christian rock band at the same time. So
because they go together.
Yes, right? Very much
it's a natural
so.
Transition.
Natural. Could you have started maybe a Christian opera band?
No, it actually was.
I'm just
all right, get ready, world.
Baby.
Get ready. Yes.
That would
inspiration
be
comes
interesting.
From all places.
So yeah, that's going farther back. That's kind of where it started for me. That was before we actually met.
So you actually have done some opera singing, though.
Yes,
so it's
I have.
Not like
yeah.
you were thinking about doing it. You actually have done yeah. mm-hmm. opera singing. So. You know, we get a little flavor of it for those of you who are listening in. Once in a while in their regular performances, they'll throw in a song that's kind of operatic.
It is from an opera, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard a few.
So quite good. So
well, thank you.
So you got your scholarship for college and you started the Christian rock band, and then what?
I did the band for a long time. I kind of more did that direction. I would do some auditions, operatic auditions every once in a while. But the band was at that time locally and regionally took off and was fairly successful. It was one of the odd things for this area. It was an all originals Christian band. Usually it's a lot of covers or praise music and stuff like that. And it was all original music. So that was a big deal. And that's about the time we met. We were just, I'd been doing that for a couple of years is when we met.
Right when your first CD was coming out.
Yeah, the first CD was coming out. So I kind of did that way for a while, and I started teaching on top of that to, pay the bills, of course. But,
sure, yeah. sure.
But it kind of gave me a perspective of how to be able to transition between the two different styles of music. Because it's not, you can't sing contemporary or rock music as an opera singer, and you can't sing opera like a rock singer. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out how to go back and forth. So that was part of that. And that kind of helped me be able to do what we do today. Instead of just sounding like an opera singer trying to sing, you know, Simon and Garfunkel or something like that.
Well, tell us about what you do today, or tell the listeners what you do today.
Go ahead and jump in.
What do we do, yeah. David? Yeah. No, we actually, a friend of ours dubbed our style acoustic feel good music. And so we
had a good description,
right? We hadn't thought about it like that. But basically we're an acoustic duo. We do everything from 60s to today. So that spans the Beatles, Simon and Garfunkel, the Eagles, Train, Foo Fighters, Rob Thomas, Ed Sheeran, Jason Mraz. So it's a real range. I know you guys are real familiar with it. And before, or I don't know if we're going COVID yet. I was going to say before COVID.
You can bring it up to that.
Okay.
Well, also, tell us any musical background that you had, Pamela, before.
Nothing like his. Yeah. And I don't have, for those who don't know, I don't have that kind of the classical voice at all. Mine is far more contemporary and mine is much more the harmonies and support rather than the solo singing. But I did church choir when I was a kid, and I was an SAI, Sigma Alpha Iota. It's a professional fraternity for women. And yes, I did say fraternity, so go ahead and look that up. But it is for women, and it's a music fraternity. And so I was involved in that in college. But then after that, I kind of lost myself and lost singing and, you know, just my confidence in it. And I was so intimidated to sing in front of David. So for the longest time, I didn't.
Understandable.
I maybe sang in church, maybe. I think even that was stunted. And so
a little bit.
But then we started doing a little bit of songwriting, and occasionally would do a song out together. But that was forever ago. That's when the band was still going. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so mine's very different. I didn't go to school for it, but
you also play French horn.
So. I was just gonna say, I also play French horn. I forgot about that. Yeah, so my mom was the coolest because she was just like, you know, why'd you have us take piano lessons, you know, and then transition. She goes, I just wanted you to love music as much as I do.
Aww.
And I think that's one of the most amazing gifts that you can give somebody. So
yeah.
So I just learned something here. So you said you had done some songwriting together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you have original songs?
I
haven't heard those in.
We occasionally do them.
I've heard a couple.
Yeah. Okay. We don't have a ton.
We haven't written any recently.
Mm-mm. And I also heard her say that you had your first CD, which means there's more than one CD. So are those out and about? I mean, can someone buy them from?
They can. They're probably hard to find out and about, but
this is the Christian band.
Yeah.
So okay. It's not.
I do have copies of all of them. So we have four albums.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
So, and one of the albums has like 17 songs on it. So it's a big one, but yeah. So, and then we had six members on stage, two members off stage with the band. And
that's a lot.
Yeah. We had brass and flute and guitars and bass and drums and the whole bit.
Wow.
Keyboards, everything. So the songs were written by like four or five different people. They weren't all just one person writing them.
Okay.
So yeah, we do have some.
Now, leading up to the COVID thing, so we're almost there, I think, but you were also doing some teaching before mm-hmm. COVID, right?
Yeah. I teach voice, piano, and guitar, private lessons.
Okay.
And so I've been doing that since before we got married.
Voice, piano, and guitar.
Yeah, I can do bass guitar. I probably can do ukulele if I work at it a little bit.
Okay.
I just got one.
So if you're listening to this in Indianapolis and you need some piano lessons, guitar lessons, or what was the other one?
Voice.
Yeah. Well, duh. David is your man. So we'll give some contact information in a few minutes. So yeah, leading up to COVID, you were doing these, well, for lack of a better word, these performances.
Live gigs,
right? You're doing live gigs you start out in Farmer's Market. I'm sure that it progressed past that because we already talked about Books and Brews.
But then
you're making enough money off of the classes and the performances to, you're making a living, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was in corporate America, though, until, goodness.
It was a year before, though.
3 years ago. Yeah. And so that helped, too. So I had but that really, as far as us performing, that really cramped what we were able to do. Mm-hmm. So, that was things looked different then.
And then all of a sudden, this nasty little virus came. And what happened?
Well, over half of my teaching studio disappeared overnight.
I went to
virtual lessons, and I was teaching 33 students, and it went down to 14.
Wow.
And all the gigs dried up.
So no gigs and half the students.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking, what, a quarter of your normal income or less?
Wow. Lost at least half, probably two-thirds, yeah. So that's about right.
Okay. And then who came up with the grand idea for the...
You know, I'm not sure if it might have been a mutual thing. We saw a friend do a show on Facebook after this, just right when this started. Mm-hmm. We're like, maybe we could try that and see if it works or not.
So yeah. you call them what, Pamela?
Couch concerts. David and Pamela live from our couch to yours, I think, is the official long title.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And I remember our very first one, and it was just like, is anyone going to come? Is anyone going to tune in?
Is anybody out there?
Is anyone going to be interested? Are they, you know, and then that became, is anyone going to come back? Holy moly, people came, but is anyone going to come back? And so we started doing them weekly. I'm still amazed. I'm really actually amazed, because that time it was really difficult, and it was really a blur. And I'm just grateful. Yeah.
So how many have you done in a row now? Or how many total concerts have you done?
I think this week will be 78 or 79. I think 79 is right.
Yeah. And do the math, folks. If there's 52 weeks in a year and you're at 79, you've been doing them almost every week for well over a year.
Every week.
Year and a half.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And Nancy started tuning in right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get on there, and the fun thing is, the music's fun, you know, and the music is great. It's entertaining. Yeah. It's uplifting, but also the interaction between the, I call them Ackerites. Somebody yelled at me. Somebody yelled at me the last time and said, we are Acker fans.
That's out there too.
But you've created a community.
I thought I was part of this thing, but no, maybe not. But we all kind of banter back and forth, and we crack jokes. And one of my favorite things is to get Pamela to crack up in the middle of
it. Can we make him laugh in the middle of the song?
Probably not hard.
I'm trying to fill in for your live heckler, Wally.
Oh, mercy. So, no, you're good. You're good.
We're sorry. We're sorry.
I saw Wally this morning, by the way. He came to my book event this morning, and we were talking about it. And so I think he's going to be here. We got a little thing. They're doing a live concert thing tonight and after the podcast recording. So I think Wally's coming for it live. So
yes, there's the warning. Yeah, right?
There's your warning.
No, for people who don't know, Wally's a really good friend, high school friend, right? And he does. He loves to interact. We'll call it that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's more vociferous than others.
Oh, go look that up.
Go look it up. But no, he's a lot of fun. And he knows that we goof about him to his face and behind his back both. It's an equally.
I want you to play piano, man.
On the guitar?
Yeah, on the guitar.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Good to know.
So what's it been like trying to muddle through for people who make your living off of entertaining others? What's it been like trying to maneuver through this pandemic in the entertainment industry? That's a hard question. I didn't give you a heads up on that. So
it's been a real challenge. Accepting the fact that things are not going to be exactly the same they were is probably the start of it. But doing this live show every week on Facebook has helped some. But the difficulty with that is, even though we can see everything scrolling, we don't really have interaction, real interaction from an audience.
Meaning we can't see them.
We can't see them or anything like that. Can't talk to them. We can read the reactions and the comments, as long as they haven't passed before we look at the camera, yeah. Of course. So that in itself is an adjustment, because usually when you're in a live performance where you have a live audience, you get, so there's some give and take, mm-hmm. and that helps to boost you when you're performing. And when you don't have that, you have to generate it all yourself.
You're talking about the whole performance energy.
Yes.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So you get, when you're doing a live performance, you're getting energy from the audience as they're reacting.
Yes. Oh yeah.
But when you're sitting on your couch in your living room doing it yeah. to the walls and you just have these screens up there, just so you know, folks, Pamela has a camera and David has a camera, and they run it live on two different feeds, and there's feedback on both of them. And let's just admit it. Pamela, you're the spokesperson of the couch concert, and David just sits over there and makes faces.
There is something faces. To that.
He has great faces.
Yes. And then he starts playing, and then he sings, and then it goes back to Pamela reacting to the comments. And once in a while, I love to get you, David. So once in a while, when I can get you, that's like a gold star for me. It's always fun to get David to crack up a little bit. But so this couch concert, so people, you have your tip basket. Yes. Which is actually backwards on the screen, so it looks like spit basket.
It's true.
and so basically people can send you money to tip you for your performance. And that's kind of helped kind of to fund your lives for the last 18 months. Now, but you have finally started doing some more live gigs, yes. right? Yes. So that's loosened up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Have you had some of your teaching come back too, or is that still kind of thin?
It's still thin. I've had a few more students. I'm only up to 18 at this point. So it's a little bit better, but it's like, I'll get a couple and then a couple will drop off. And it's been a back and forth that really has not gotten back to where it was pre-pandemic. Yeah.
Hard to get the momentum going again right now. Right. Yeah. So what's your favorite song to sing?
I know mine. You know mine.
I know what yours is.
It's more you singing it, but I love Old Man. I love hearing him sing Old Man.
Neil Young.
Yes.
Oh, well, see, I would probably know that song as soon as you started it, but I can't think of what that sounds like right now. You, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trying to pull it off the top of my head is always the interesting thing.
or not? Don't worry about it. But it sits high. I actually had seen a performance where Neil Young was on Jimmy Fallon. And so starts out on the stage and they have the lighting and the hat. So the face is partially covered. And you come to find out that the first person singing isn't Neil Young, but you think it's Neil Young. And then midway through the song, Neil Young comes and sits and they sing together. And so that I loved that song when I was younger, but that's what brought it to the forefront again. Mm-hmm. And it sits... It just has really nice high notes. David's got a beautiful high voice. So I love that. I love to listen to that one.
I like that song too, but one of my favorites to sing is Hallelujah.
Oh yeah. And you do an awesome job with that. So it almost brings Nancy to tears when you do Hallelujah. So she waits for that.
Scratch your beard for tonight, right?
The funny thing is, we went to your live thing up at the steakhouse in, was it Whitestown? That, it's a steakhouse that's a Japanese steakhouse, mm-hmm. yes, but it doesn't sound like a Japanese steakhouse.
Harmony.
Harmony, mm-hmm. Harmony Steakhouse. And you went to start doing, I think, Hallelujah there. And at the very second that you started singing, they turned on the outdoor speakers. And so they were playing music behind you.
In addition
to. And I'm like, oh, this is Nancy's favorite song. And so I got up and I went in and I said, hey, your speakers are on outside. And they're, and they went and shut them off. And I don't even know if you guys noticed, but you had some interference for a few minutes at Harmony, but they fixed it. They fixed it. So, that's Nancy's favorite. So that's your favorite to sing. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I do like that one a lot.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, I recently suggested to you, I think, Leader of the Band.
Right.
So I enjoy, the first time I suggested that, I didn't make the couch concert when you played it or when you performed it. So I was kind of bummed, but yeah, I'll look forward to hearing that again whenever you do it again the next time. But all right, just for the listeners out there, Nancy had to step away for a few minutes because we have some other things going on around the Cutter's Notch studio, and so she's out taking care of that. So how would you recommend, if someone wanted to get into what you do, what's the best way to do that?
You know, just assuming that, you know, they have the necessary skills to do it, the best place to start to kind of test your waters is to do open mics. I think there are a lot of places that do open mics. So you go in and you play two or three songs, sometimes more depending on what's going on, but it's a good place to just kind of get in front of people and play a little bit. If you're past that point, open mics are also a good place to find gigs, because a lot of places do the open mics to find new talent to come in to play. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of, you know, if you're ready to perform, so you probably need to have 3 hours worth of music. Some places are two, a lot of places are three. So you need to have that kind of music. So at least 50 songs mm-hmm. or more that you can just play and sing and do your thing. But then it's a lot of making calls.
So you have to actually, you have to contact places and say, hey, do you have some openings? Can we come play live? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. How hard is that to get lined up?
It's a process. You have to follow up and follow up and follow up. So you call them, and if you can make contact with the decision maker, then that's a good first step. If not, usually it's like, well, you need to send us a link or a Facebook message or an email or something like that, so we can, you know, have some idea what we're listening to. So, you know, we have a YouTube channel that we have songs. We have them on the website as well that they can go and listen to and get an idea of what we are and what we do. So you send that to them, and then usually you have to follow up with them and say, okay, I sent this to you. We're still interested, and go from there. And some places it's, you know, following up twice. Some it's following up six or eight times.
Do you have an agent?
No.
So you're doing it all on your own.
Yeah. I was going to say this is like a job in and of itself. And David does all of these contacts. And so it's constant and ongoing, and you have to have a thick skin because it's up for grabs if you're going to get the person who makes the decision and whether they're ready to make that decision. It just, mm-hmm. it takes a lot of time and a lot of contacts.
Something else that we do is we will find acts like on Facebook or something that are similar to us, you know, single acoustic person or a duo or something like that, that are doing a similar style, not exactly the same, but something similar, and look at different places that they're playing. Mm-hmm. And then we'll contact those places. So it's a good thing to, you know, see what other people are doing, and maybe those are good places to look at. Because not every place wants to do an acoustic show.
Right.
There are places that want the full band. They want the big show. And so you have to be aware of that.
You have to be a good fit for that venue.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, okay. I will say that acoustic shows are very popular right now. They, a lot of places are liking that. Part of it is because they don't need as much room to have somebody come in, but also it's not as expensive for them than trying to hire, you know, a six or eight piece band.
Because restaurants and places are really reeling after COVID. And if they're able to have music come back, then they are. They're weighing the cost and whether they're able to afford it because they've had such cuts. So, yeah, right. It's a ripple effect.
So how do people reach out to you? How do they find you?
Well, let me tell you.
David, the voice Ackerman for one, right?
Yes.
But go ahead. You know,
give us your points of contact that you're willing to share publicly.
Well, the best way probably is just send me an email at david@davidackerman.net.
Okay.
But, you know, you can also go to the website and do it through our website, davidackerman.net. So things all the same there.
Yeah.
You can also contact us through Facebook. Send a message through the fan page or our personal pages.
So his fan page, dude, you need to say it, at David the Voice Ackerman is the Facebook page.
The little at sign.
Yeah.
David the Voice Ackerman.
Yeah. And there are a million David Ackermans out there, to the point that there's Ackerman Society.
No.
Because there's so many. And so that's why I'm always just like, okay, please put this in, or you're going somewhere else and we can't even guarantee that it's going to be anywhere near this guy. And so, yes. Yeah. At David the Voice Ackerman.
There's some people that you Google them and there's like nobody else out there. Right. But you know, Ackerman is an unusual enough name that you wouldn't think there would be
that
many.
At least in the U.S.
Yes.
Right.
Well, DeCamp is the same way. But if you Googled Michael DeCamp, you would get an actor. There's an actor in Hollywood.
I found that.
And then there's a chef in Minneapolis.
Did not find that.
And there's a painter in Hawaii. And there was a guy who used to be a deep sea diver.
My goodness.
He's passed on, I think. But it's interesting, you know, when you start looking for your own name. So at David the Voice Ackerman. On Facebook.
Because there actually are a couple other David Ackerman musicians on Facebook. Which not just David Ackerman, but they're also musicians as well. So
okay. Well, I can see where that could get kind of confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
And let's spell Ackerman for them so they get it right.
Oh, thank you. Ackerman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One yeah. And then the profile picture is also real obvious. So
it's the two of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. David and Pamela. And looks
or
like
contact an,
looks
us.
Like, looks like an alley.
We'll connect you.
Oh, yeah.
If nothing else.
Absolutely.
Contact Mike and Nancy and we'll.
Yeah. Contact the Cutter's that. Notch podcast.
Although, we'll you know, you I have to confess, you do the couch concerts and I listen in every week. And I think, I don't know if you sent me a Christmas card or something and I had your new address and then I pitched it and I didn't have it. And I so wanted to send something to you in the middle of a couch concert.
You were going to get it delivered.
And I couldn't find the address. And I'm texting Dana. I'm texting, do you have their new address yet? And I thought, I can't ask them their new address. I mean, there was, you know, it was like timing of it. I was like, it would have been totally linked to me. And I don't do things where it gets linked directly to me, you know?
Oh my gosh. That's fantastic. Yeah,
you were going to be in the middle of the concert and the doorbell was going to ring or somebody's going to knock on the door.
Because we've joked about
shark,
that.
Graham.
Yes.
Oh, come right on in.
It may have been providential that you lost that.
It was. It was God, Nancy, karma, the universe. It was.
Nancy enjoys practical jokes.
Oh.
Just so you know.
Good to know.
Yeah. So
I guess we're going home now.
I know. I'm suddenly very concerned.
Joke's on me. Let me get my ukulele. Come on, everybody.
Nancy
99 bottles of beer on the wall.
For those of you out in the listening world, as you can tell, Nancy returned. So yes. I told everybody that you had stepped away.
I did. And thank you for carrying on without me.
Mm-hmm.
It was
no problem. We lost a certain amount of energy when you left and now you've come back and it's like overwhelming. So
well, I have even more energy.
You have lost that NPR tone. NPR. I keep saying NBR. I don't know what they're, where that's coming from.
Basketball.
Yeah. NBA.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so melding. Have to be down here like this.
Yeah.
In this fashion.
Yes. All right. I think it might be time for the random questions.
Oh, I'm going to have to listen to this podcast since I missed a bunch of it.
You missed a bunch of it.
We do. That's what we do. Our family, there's an app on your phone called Marco Polo. Don't know if you're familiar with it, but you can basically, you just self-record a little message. And it could be if you're like, so with Mike and I and our daughters, we Marco Polo almost every morning, at least through the work week. And hey, this is Mike. A lot of times he'll read a scripture. I give a word of the day. Sometimes he does the joke of the day. The girls are going to, we'll say, this is what we're doing. This is what's going on. Kind of through COVID, it was something that connected us when we weren't, before we created the bubble of ourselves, you know?
Yes.
And with the Marco Polo, I made the comment one time to the girls, because our offices are literally right next to each other. So we hear each other when we're recording our messages. And I said something about, yeah, Dad's was really long today. I just skipped his. They're like, oh, Mom, how could you do that? And I was like, well, I did technically already hear it when he was recording it live. So I wasn't just ignoring him. I did hear what he said, but
it looked a little different.
This one, I'm going to have to...
You
have a choice.
She's prattling on.
But that's okay. I'm jazzed. I'm hyped up.
She's wound up for tonight for some reason.
I am wiped up. It has been a long summer. I am finally 100% mobile and energized.
When we first started having her on the podcast, she'd be like this all the time. And then we come on the podcast and we could barely get her to kind of talk. So she's come out of her shell. But you have your option on the random questions. The box that she's got in her hand there, the one that's the Tupperware box, are 16 questions that I made up. And some of them have been heard before. People have asked, you know, but there's 8 of them in there that are brand new. So you can choose from that box, or you can choose a random question out of this box of 1,000 questions.
So can we read them first before we choose?
No.
So you get your choice. You can either pull from that one or you can go with this one. What do you say?
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm scared now.
I know.
You should be scared. This is scary stuff right here.
So what do you want?
You choose. I'm afraid.
Let's go with the box.
All right. So
you're saying the Tupperware?
Yeah. Which one of you is going to pull it?
This is all you. This is all.
No. This is both of us.
I'm taking no responsibility for what happens next.
Well, you both have to answer whatever question it is.
Oh, see.
All right. Let's see.
We got.
Share about one of your happiest moments.
Wow.
Gosh.
That's a tough one.
I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but wow. Go ahead. I know it'll. Because there's so many.
Okay, I'm going to go and be a little sappy with this one, but
okay.
When we got married, I sang to her.
Oh.
And that was a really good moment for me. Right at the very end of the song is when it actually hit me. But I was able to get through the whole song, and it was just really cool.
Nice.
Very nice. What, do you beautiful. Remember what you sang?
Yeah.
Everything I Do, the Bryan Adams song.
Okay. Okay. But I sang to you, but it was just at the rehearsal. I
was
going to
mention that. You just stole it away from me.
Sorry. Energy, you know?
Yeah, she's
got to keep up with me. Come on.
No more energy drinks for you today.
What did you sing? I need to know.
What did you sing?
I don't remember.
Wind Beneath My Wings or something?
No, I sang that to our parents at the dinner, The Wind Beneath Our Wings. But I sang...
What was it?
I don't know.
Our video is
listen
no
to
longer...
the next podcast. I'll look it up and I'll tell you guys. You know?
Tune in next time.
Yeah.
And Nancy will sing it for you.
Oh, yay.
That'd be great.
Yes. Yes. Just don't ask for a low note, right?
Right. Right.
Inside joke. Yes. All right, Pamela, what's your happiest moment?
I mean, literally, there's so many. But what I thought about was a lot of people aren't going to know this. David's a cancer survivor. And it was December 30th of what year? I don't remember the year.
2002.
Thank you. 2002 that we found out that he was in remission. Mm. And God just took us to such an amazing place during that time because we already were believers. But we just came to know him in such a different level and such a deeper level. Leaning on him for every single day and every single moment because it was really difficult. Anybody who has been touched by that knows. So having gone through all of like a month's worth of tests and surgeries and procedures just to figure out what it was and then go through radiation or chemo first and then radiation and then to finally get that news was just astounding. We feel tremendously blessed.
And a very good New Year's that year.
That would be a good day.
Yeah.
That would definitely be a good day.
So that would be mine. Yeah.
Do you have a happy moment, Mike?
It's not my turn yet.
Should be your turn.
It's your turn.
It should be your turn. Go ahead.
No, I'm the host. It's your turn.
Go ahead. Well, what am I, chopped liver?
At the moment.
Guess who's cooking their own dinner? Well, I will say, and I won't say... I mean, what you two shared were really profound. I think you have really profound happy moments, but then you have happy moments that bring you joy day in, day out, or just through the day. And I will say, and I'm not going to look at you guys when I say this, that I feel like your music is a big part of my life. I'm not a professional by any way, but... for example, when I go to church, it's the music that speaks to me, not the preacher. I love all my preachers, but no, it's the music that speaks to me. And you know, I could do without TV, this or that, but music is something that just moves me. And I feel like for me, happy moments have been throughout the pandemic to be able to have that Friday or Saturday night to look forward to have uplifting music and have that sense of community. Really, over the last year and a half, it's what has brought me personally a lot of joy, and then being able to share that with others. So thank you for what you've done through that.
My goodness, that is so humbling. That's thank you for sharing that. Wow.
Sometimes you don't know what difference you're making in people's lives, right?
Yes.
So
I mean, truly, that it's exactly that, because he's so great and stable as far as, you know, the thought process. I lots of times will come off a show and just go, wow, did I say the things I was supposed to say? Was this what it was supposed to be? And just, so thank you.
Sure. And it always is. So mm-hmm.
It is.
It always is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're out of time. We don't have time for mine.
Mike's happy moment is to be here with me and the Ackermans.
Actually, I was originally going to share about you singing to me at our.
Do you remember the song?
No.
Okay.
If I knew, I would have told you.
All right.
I just remember you doing it. But I've decided to share another very happy moment, which was, it's probably a little bit more sappy, but my dad was not a particularly emotionally expressive person, right? He didn't go around saying, oh, love you, Dad, you know, love you, Mike, or, you know, he didn't do that a lot. He was a great man.
Yeah.
I have incredible respect for my dad, and I miss him terribly. But one of the things he did for me at one point in time, I still remember where we were. We're sitting in his car. We were in his garage, and he stopped and he turned to me, and with kind of tears in his eyes, he says, Mike, I just want to let you know, I am so proud of you. And it's hard for me to go on from there.
Yeah.
So it
very cool.
That made me so happy to hear, you know, just to hear him feel that way about me.
There's something about hearing that from a parent too.
Yeah.
They're just a unique relationship with your parents. So when a parent says something like that,
Well, you know, obviously it's still sitting with me, because that was, you know, I was a teenager back then, and that was like, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. times something. It was a long time ago. Two. Let's just say it was the 1970s.
Don't make me start singing the song you taught the girls.
The song I taught the girls. Oh, now I'm curious. What song did I...
Okay, this is probably blasphemy, so I apologize ahead of time
is
for anybody.
Is it the pizza song?
No. No, I apologize ahead of time for anybody who takes offense to this. It's not meant to be offense. It's just meant to be fun.
If it's offensive, I'll just cut it out of the recording.
Revelation, 21:8, liars burn in hell. Liars burn in hell. Burn.
Oh my right? Gosh.
I've never heard that song.
That's so
I apologize. I would say that I'd never heard that song before, but then I would be fulfilling the song.
Wow.
Now I'm going to have to tell him about the pizza song at some point in time.
Yeah,
maybe not today, but go ahead.
He meant when he was in college.
Bible college.
Studying the Bible. He came up with words to a hymn, and they were all about pizza. He taught it to me when we were dating, taught it to the girls. None of us can go to church, hear that song. We have to like have that hymnal and stare at the words, because we will sing the pizza song, the words.
Yeah. The song was, I once was lost in sin.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the song. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Da, da, da.
I don't know that one.
But I changed the words to, I once was lost in pizza and Domino's took me in. And then a little light from Da Vinci's filled my soul. Now, Da Vinci's is a pizza place in Williamstown, West Virginia, where I went to Bible college. So, see,
it bathed my heart in cheese.
Wrote my name on the order. Yeah.
It's not good.
I didn't say it was a good song, but it
you guys need to warm up the crowd tonight with that.
Yeah, no.
We'll even put you on camera.
Now, I think both of us have sung now. Do you want to sing something for us?
I'm not sure we can after that.
If you do. You could do Ramon.
I
need a guitar for that one.
Okay.
So no. I could probably throw off a verse of Amazing Grace or something like that.
Yeah, go for it.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I think there's a button here that does clapping. Let's see.
The crowd goes wild.
Well, thanks guys for being on the podcast today. I hope we've had fun. Yeah. I hope you get some people to visit at, was it davidackerman.net?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Or your Facebook page at David, the Voice Ackerman. Go like their page, check out their, couch concerts. I understand you're going to keep doing those. So,
yes, every week.
This will be join the fun of the interacting crowd on the Facebook live events. So, guys, thanks for being on here. For those of you who are listening, thank you for being part of the podcast, for listening in, for tuning in, for being the audience for our rambling thoughts, jokes, and other ridiculousness. So. If you get an opportunity to rate us, please do. Especially if you can give me a good one.
If it's a good one.
Only good.
And thank you, Bill White, here for the production, post-production work that you do and for helping us get this thing up and running. With that, look for us again. And hopefully we're going to get back to a little bit more normal schedule for getting these out. We took a little bit of a hiatus because of various reasons, busy summer, and I had a cough that wouldn't go away for August. So, wasn't COVID, guys. Wasn't COVID. I was tested, 3 different tests. So, I'm clear.
It's just hard to do a podcast when you're coughing every other
hard
word.
Hard to do a podcast when you gotta edit every other second. So, at any rate, thank you very much, audience, for listening in. Again, thank you, Ackermans. Thank you to my beautiful co-host. And we will catch you next time on the Cutter's Notch podcast.
The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of 2 novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2, a collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and 1 nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.